Bible this morning and turn to Psalm 121. And while you're turning to Psalm 121, let's pray. Father, thank you for the Word of God and for another opportunity to look into it this morning. I pray that you would, through your Holy Spirit, open up our hearts, our minds, our eyes to your truth. Help us to take what we learn and use it in our lives. Thank you, Lord, for the Word of God and for the guidance it gives us throughout our life. And so again, now speak to us as only you can. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I want you to think with me this morning, if you will, on these four words. In God we trust. In God we trust. It's a phrase that has known an important place in the history of our nation for many years. It was in November of 1861 that a letter was written to the Secretary of the Treasury by the Reverend M.R. Watkinson. Watkinson was a minister of the gospel from Ridleyville, Pennsylvania. And the Reverend's letter included these comments. One fact touching our currency has hitherto been seriously overlooked. I mean the recognition of the Almighty God in some form on our coins. Well, as a result of that letter, the Secretary of the Treasury, his name was Samuel Chase, wrote a letter to the Director of the Mint at Philadelphia to prepare a motto for our nation's coins. Chase's letter to the director of the Mint, dated on November 20th, 1861, included these words. Dear sir, no nation can be strong except in the strength of God, or safe except in his defense. The trust of our people in God should be declared on our national coins. And of course, the rest is history. Since then, every piece of U.S. currency has been minted with the words, "In God we trust." Now, let's read Psalm 121 as we think about our trust in God. We read, I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. He will not suffer thy foot to be moved. He that keepeth thee will not slumber. Behold, he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is thy keeper. The Lord is thy shade upon thy right hand. The sun shall not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. He shall preserve thy soul. The Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in from this time forth and even forevermore. In God we trust. I pray that God would help us to realize that this little motto is more than just a slogan. It is a tremendous spiritual truth. Only by exercising our trust in the Lord are we able to be saved and to live a life that is pleasing to the Lord. Very simply put, salvation does not come without trust in the Lord. And living a life that is pleasing to God does not come without trusting in the Lord. We must have faith in God. And our faith reaches its highest point in our trusting Jesus Christ alone and his completed work on the cross as he died for our sins and rose again the third day. There is no salvation outside of that. There is no forgiveness. There is no eternal life. There is no heaven unless we place our faith and our trust in Jesus Christ. Jesus himself made that very clear in John 14:6, where he says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. But here's the problem. Faith can mean many things to many different people. It wouldn't take us long to observe numerous individuals in the world who have numerous sorts of faith. But there is no faith greater or higher or purer than faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's our faith that leads us not only to say those four words, "In God we trust," but our faith and trust helps us to live out these words in our actions. I was recently reading about some Baptist missionaries who were serving in the country of Yemen in a hospital. And on December 30th, 2002, gunmen came in and shot two of them dead, and shot a third who was left for dead. And here's the question. Why were the missionaries there? They knew it was not a nation of Christians, but a nation of Muslim belief. But why were they there? How could they even begin to feel safe? And the answer to that question is in four simple words: in God we trust. Their faith in God was strong. As a matter of fact, I read that just a few months later, the family of that third missionary that actually survived being shot, that family came to the platform at a big Christian gathering and shared that they were planning to return to Yemen in August to help the sick and to win the lost to Christ. And the question that comes to mind is how? How could they be so brave and so bold? Well, it's easy to see that some people truly can say, "In God we trust." You see, true Christian, I refer to those folks as Christian patriots. And the true Christian patriots are not only those who would give their lives for their country, but those who would give their lives for God's kingdom. They are the Christian patriot. But I wonder, what about you and I? What about you and I? With what comprehension do we say, "In God we trust"? Do we say it as a cliche, like people say, "Have a nice day"? You know, they say it many times just as part of a conversation, you know, but with no real feeling behind it. Just kind of something to say. Really, they don't really even care if you have a good day or not. It's just become commonplace to use that expression. And I feel that for many of us as Americans today, we often say, "In God we trust," but are we kind of saying it as a cliche? It's very easy to have it become nothing more than a cliche. It can become hollow. It can become just some, you know, words flicking off our tongue. But where's the meaning? And where is the depth of it? So let's talk a little bit this morning about our understanding of true trust in God. And let me start by saying that that trust in God can be understood in three ways. We can trust God as our source of help. We can trust in God as the true source of happiness. And we can trust in God as our source of a heavenly home. Now, let's consider first, "In God we trust" as our source of help. Someone has very well said this: no man is ever near to becoming a Christian who does not first realize that he is a helpless, undone, sinful creature. And he cannot depend on himself to remedy that. Self-reliance it just doesn't work at all. Self-reliance opposes faith. Self-reliance believes trust is found in self. Self-reliance believes that help is found in self. But really, there is no help in self-help. Because the Bible is very clear in Romans 3:23 when it tells us that every person who walks the face of the earth is a sinner. It says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Over in Ecclesiastes 7:20, it says, there's not a just man upon the earth that doeth good and sinneth not. We must understand that each person is a sinner, and that neither you nor anyone else other than Christ can reconcile your sin. Nobody else but Christ can fix your sin. Nobody else but Christ can forgive your sin. Nobody else but Christ can cleanse you of your sin. And you know what that says to me? It says that we must trust God as our source of help. And that's why the good news of Jesus exists. That he came and died on the cross as the only one who could be the restorer of all of us who are destined for destruction because of our sin. But the truth is, Jesus is our source of help only if we will trust him. Look here again at verses 1 and 2. It reads, I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. I think I got pages all mixed up here. Hang on one second. There we go. Okay. Yeah, I'm all mixed up. But think about this. Let's read it again. I'll lift up mine eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. The Bible instructs us that if we need a source of help, and we do, that we can trust in the Lord. We can look up to God. And if we are to trust God as our source of help, we must understand that Jesus Christ is God. He is God. In our Bible, it says in John 1, verses 1 and 2, in the beginning was the Word. And in that passage, the word, Word, is capitalized, right? It's got a capital W because it's a name for Jesus. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. So there we learn that Jesus is God. Jesus said in John 10, verse 30, I and my Father are one. That is, we must understand that the Jehovah of the Old Testament is the Jesus of the New Testament. They are one and the same. They're not two different people. Jesus Christ is God. And in verse 2 here, the psalmist says that our help comes from the one who is the maker of heaven and earth. And who is that? That again is Jesus. Just after what I quoted in John 1, where it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, the Word was God. The next thing it says about Jesus is, all things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. He's the creator of heaven and earth. Over in Colossians chapter 1, verses 16 and 17, Paul is speaking about Jesus there. He makes a reference to God's dear Son, and it says this, for by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him. Jesus Christ is God. He is the Creator. And so who are you trusting for your source of help? I pray that it's Jesus Christ, who is God. God who was manifested in the flesh and died and rose again for you. For you. Now, secondly this morning, not only should we be able to say, in God we trust as our source of help, but we must also trust God if we're ever going to achieve a true state of happiness. He is the source of true happiness. That's the second thing I want you to see this morning, that in God we trust as our source of true happiness. God's constant care for his children is one of the most heartwarming and blessed truths in all the Bible. If you are a child of God, you can have true happiness. And you can have it without health, without wealth, without popularity, because true happiness, the kind we're talking about this morning, comes from the inside, from the Lord, not from the outside, from circumstances. You know, some people out there are preaching a false health, wealth, and prosperity gospel that is a sermon straight from hell. It's awful. It's not from God when a preacher preaches saying that God wants you to have everything that this world has to offer just so you will be happy. No, here's the message God wants us to receive. It's this: God wants you, and he wants you to want him. God wants you, and he wants you to want him. And when you know him, and he is in you, that is all you need for happiness. Psalm 144, verse 15 says, happy is that people whose God is the Lord. You just ask people when the happiest time of their life was. And I don't mean just ask Christians or churchgoers, but ask everybody, especially people who don't trust in God, when the happiest time of their life was. And a whole lot of them will say, when I was a child. At the beginning of my life, when I was a little kid, those were the times when I was the most happy. As if to say, happiness is where life begins. But it's important how you define when life begins, because there's a sense in which life does not begin at the hospital when you're born physically. Because the most important kind of life, a spiritual life, eternal life, begins when you get saved. It begins when you put your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. In verses 3 through 7 of this passage, the Word of God says to those who are trusting him some great words of assurance about his constant watch care over us. Let's read them again, 3 through 7. It says, he will not suffer thy foot to be moved. He that keepeth thee will not slumber. Behold, he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is thy keeper. The Lord is thy shade upon thy right hand. The sun shall not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. He shall preserve thy soul. And so in these verses, God's word gives us his great assurance about his watch care over us. And that right there ought to bring us happiness. The knowledge of his presence and his care over us constantly should bring us great joy and great peace and great comfort and great strength and great happiness. The Bible shows us that we are to trust God as he who is not asleep or slumbering. Think about this. God has never, ever been to a slumber party, right? And he never will, because he's always awake, watching over us and caring for us. The psalmist says in verse 3, he will not suffer thy foot to be moved. That is, he'll keep your foot from slipping. He's our stabilizer in life. He says in verse 5 that he's our shade. That is to say that God is our shelter. And it is God that we trust as our source of happiness, because nothing can make a believer happier than knowing that God is watching over him or her 24/7, every day of the year, every moment of the day. There's nothing that should make a Christian happier than to know that God is watching over them constantly. Trust in him is the source of true happiness. And then finally, let me say this. We can trust in God as the source of our heavenly home. It's been said many times, but it's so beautiful, I'll say it again. Heaven is a prepared place for prepared people. Heaven is a prepared place for prepared people. Heaven is our eternal habitation, the place where those who have trusted in Christ will be forever and ever and ever and ever. From Christ himself, we have the promise of John 14, 2 and 3, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. You'll notice he said, I go to prepare a place for you. And we read the Bible about all the joys and all the wonders of heaven. Look what it says here in verse 8 of this passage in Psalm 121. It says, the Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in from this time forth. And look at that last phrase. And even forevermore. If you're one of his children, his promise is he's going to protect you forever. Forever. What a great promise. In God we trust as the source of our heavenly home. Why? Because God has given us victory through Jesus Christ. Jesus is the only name that we can trust for our heavenly home. In Acts 4:12, we read, neither is there salvation in any other, for there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. One time a blind man was waiting at a busy corner for everyone to cross to the other side. And one person who noticed the man was blind also noticed that he was carrying a Bible. And the observing young man said, can you really read your Bible since you're blind? What he did not know was the blind man was carrying just a portion of the Bible, a portion of his Braille Bible. If you've ever seen a Braille Bible, it is so huge you could not carry it by yourself. He just had a portion of it from the book of Acts. And he said, can you read the Bible? And the blind man said, yes, I can. He said, well, read me a couple of verses. Well, the blind man opened his Bible and it fell to Acts 4:12. And he began, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. And then he stopped. He went back and read it again. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. And he started to read it the third time. And the young man said, "Can't you read any further?" And the blind man said, "Yes, I can read all of it. But I just can't get over that marvelous truth that there is salvation in none other." And you know what? That right there is the main message of your Bible. Salvation is not found in a pastor, a priest, a rabbi, or an imam. You know why? Because we are all sinners just like you. Salvation is not found in a church or in church membership. Because think about what the church is. It's a bunch of sinners getting together to worship God. Salvation is not found in religious rituals like baptism or communion. Why? Because they are administered by sinners. Salvation is not by our good deeds or our good works. The Bible clearly says, not by works of righteousness which we have done. It's not by keeping the Ten Commandments. The Bible says, by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified in his sight. It's not by following the golden rule. It's not by living by the Beatitudes. It's only by faith in Christ. The Bible is clear, 1 Timothy 2:5, for there is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. Again, it's neither is there salvation in any other, for there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. And so where is your trust? Is your trust in Christ and the fact that he shed his blood and died on the cross to pay the penalty for your sin and then rose again the third day so you could have eternal life? And if you've not put your trust and your faith in him, why not today? Why not today? Why not today? Turn from your sin and call out to Christ in prayer and let him know that you are trusting him and him alone as your Savior and Lord. And can I just say, do it today. Don't wait any longer. Do it while you have the opportunity. You know why? Because of the fact that when your life ends, it's then too late to do anything about it. Our Bible tells us in Proverbs 27:1, "Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth." Tomorrow could be too late. We have no promise that we're going to be around here to see tomorrow. So if you're going to put your trust in Christ and get this matter settled of the forgiveness of your sins and eternal life and a home in heaven, today's the day. Don't put him off any longer. Open up your heart and receive Jesus Christ as your Savior and Lord. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the Word of God. And we thank you for the truths that we've seen this morning. We thank you that we can rely upon you for our help. We thank you that we can rely upon you for our happiness. We can rely upon you for our home in heaven. And Lord, I pray that you would help us to trust you. Help us to trust you more every day. And for those who might be in this room that have never put their trust in Christ, today, Lord, I pray that they'd see this to be their greatest need. And today they would open up their heart and invite Christ in to wash their sins away and give them everlasting life. We pray this now in Jesus' name. Amen.